Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Earlier this month, the Johor ruler Sultan Ibrahim Iskandar voiced his frustration over what he claimed were the federal government's starkly disproportionate allocation of federal funds, saying that Johor has been treated like a stepchild. Now, he went as far as to suggest that Johor might consider pulling out of the federation. While secession is not provided for in the federal constitution, the last decade or so has witnessed the rise of state nationalism, most notably from the territory of Sarawak. Sarawak's latest move with respect to their desire for more autonomy from federal rule was to declare that its chief minister be called the premier of the state. Now, does the federation need to evolve in order to accommodate demands from states and territories? And if so, how can this be managed in a way to preserve the interest of citizens? Joining us on the show today is Dr. Francis Low. He is senior advisor with the Forum of Federations and project leader of the report called Enabling Decentralization and Improving Federal-State Relations in the Federation of Malaysia. Dr. Francis, thank you for joining us on the show. Can we begin our conversation today by helping us understand a little bit about why the Penang State Government has commissioned this study? What does it hope to achieve through this report?
Thank you very much, Sharad, Melissa, for inviting me to this show. It's my great pleasure to be here. Why? In a sense, this is not something new because, we've been already since 2008, when the DAP-led government came to power, began to actually talk about the need for decentralization again, And if you might recall that they called for the reintroduction of local government elections, in 2018, on behalf of Aliran, I actually submitted a report, a proposal to the Commission for Institutional Reform about the need to look at how federal-state relations were being structured and why there was a need for decentralization. And I think the urgency of the matter arises now because there's so much instability in the body politic. We don't have a stable central government. A lot of people have now to return to their state governments for some kind of delivery of services and goods and so on and so forth, and jobs. And so in a sense, state governments have suddenly become extremely important, not just in Sabah and Sarawak, which has always been the case, but also in other places. And of all places, you mentioned earlier on the Sultan of Johor, speaking on behalf of, his state rights, Sarawak. But don't forget, actually, the Sabahans has also been talking about this, for a long time yet, and the Negeri people as well. I actually attended a conference on decentralization hosted by the Yang di-Pertuan, he opened the proceedings. And this was held in the Nilai, in their campus, a huge, very glamorous effect. And this was, they wanted to have decentralization as well, which would, of course, give Negeri, the state of Negeri, extra additional rights and autonomy and so on and so forth. And of course, then Penang comes to the picture. And don't forget, Kelantan has also been always calling for this. So this, because of the uncertainty in the center, there has been this kind of a renewed call. Plus, don't forget that actually the COVID situation, exacerbated this need for actually decentralization. So remember, when the central government, KJ asked for actually, now is the time to lift the, MCO and all that, the Penang state government said, no, we are not ready because we still have a lot of COVID pockets. And the special thing about the state governments is that the state government know how to identify where the clusters are, which Putrajaya cannot.
I want to ask you to help us understand something about the structure of the federation. You mentioned Negeri Sembilan, and I think There are people who will say that Negeri Sembilan was actually the first federation on the Malay Peninsula. And then, you know, the Malay itself is the federation before the Federation of Malaya. So of Malaysia is the world of form. So we are kind of multiple federations all put together. But in the final analysis, what kind of system do we have? What does the Constitution tell us about its idea of what the federation should look like and how it should function?
Very important question, I mean, for us to ponder back. In the first instance, Malaysia is a very centralized, you know, federalism compared to all the federal systems throughout the world. To the extent that actually this organization I belong to, you know, FOF, the Federation Forum of Federations, which is actually based in Ottawa, and I've been involved in the project in Burma, it involves Canada, you know, South Africa, you know, Brazil, you know, Nigeria, India, Australia, Switzerland, and so on and so forth. And here, actually, they invited Malaysia to be part of this organization. But just like if you want to join the EU, you have to fulfill certain kinds of guidelines. And the Malaysian government needed to decentralize more so that it looked more like a federal system. But so until and unless they do that, they are not going to be part of this organization. So the people who have analyzed Malaysian federalism have actually used terms like this is a very coercive type of federal system. It's a very centralized one. And one person who studied the fiscal federalism in Malaysia actually concluded that, you know, this is really not a federal system whatsoever. So this is, you know, this is from researchers who have actually analyzed, looked at the structure of federalism in Malaysia.
Right. Francis, what do you mean when you say that it needs to look more like a federal system? What does a federal system look like, and where did Malaysia fall short of, how has Malaysia fallen short of that?
Good point again. In federalism, we talk about the idea of subsidiarity. That's an extremely important subsidiarity principle. This subsidiarity basically says that if a function can be performed efficiently, effectively by a lower level of government, so be it. And the higher level of authority should actually allow the lower level authority to play that role. You know, and in all federal systems, education, health, social welfare, disaster management, you know, public transport, among others, will be, you know, assumed by state governments and even shared with local governments. But the central authority then looks at international affairs, international trade, emergency, law and order, currency, and so forth. So that's extremely important. We do not subscribe to that. You know, in India, for instance, the educational system is so decentralized that actually Gujarat runs its own business. You know, so does Bengal or, you know, Bihar and so forth. So these places, actually, you can go to primary school and up to university level in your local language, you know. But of course, there's a central government there as well, which is in charge of education.
Right. You know.
Francis, may I follow up on that? The principle of subsidiarity, is that with the assumption that the local government, the state government, knows best what its citizens need more than the federal level? Is that what it is based on?
Yes, it suggests that as well, because the idea accompanying the principle is that we have local knowledge, this notion of local knowledge, which actually far away Delhi, far away Ottawa, far away Washington does not understand.
You're right. So Francis, you actually gave us an example of it during the COVID period when, you know, you said Penang balked at the decision made at the federal level to lift some restrictions. I do want to ask you, though, federalism, is it predicated on democracy, like a fully democratic system? Or can you have, as Malaysia has been, you know, really an authoritarian state? Can authoritarian states afford to be genuinely federalist?
You can, of course. I mean, this is the special notion of federalism. It basically means that we recognize the pluralism, the multi-ethnic, multi-religious aspect of that society. And we have different levels of government, at least two. center, provincial, or state, you know, and then hopefully local government as well. And by so doing, then, if I'm a minority within a minority, my people have all the hope of actually running a local government, you know, and maybe using my language to instruct, you know, in my schools, you know. At the state level, then you take care of other needs, you know, and then you leave some of these high political issues, you know, to be actually taken care of by the upper level. So, you know, this is the idea of the three levels, so to speak. Here in Malaysia, you know, just remember under the last prime minister, he over-centralized power and funds in the PMO. You know, and so we have actually tried to do a corrective to that and slowly began to remove some of the portfolios, some of the funds which were previously attached to the PMO's office. But we are still far, far away from actually a decentralized system, you know. And I just want to mention that the whole world is moving in this direction. You know, not just, and I'm not talking about Western industrialized societies. I'm talking also about Indonesia. Indonesia, after Reformasi, they decentralized up to, down to the Kabupaten and to the towns. And they introduced elections at that level. And, you know, they actually reallocated something to the tune of 40% of revenue to regional governments. And yet another case is actually the Philippines. The Philippines, after Marcos was overthrown, they had a new constitution, it was followed up by a local government code. And this local government code in 1991, actually, they decentralized to the level of local governments. And they reserved seats there for minorities, for women, for NGOs, and then the parties can come and do their thing. But they already provided for local communities to be involved. So it's a, you know, it's a trend that's taking place. We have not done this kind of a review. India has also done this, you know, and above, the country that I'm most excited about is actually South Africa. Because they got their democracy late. 1996 was the first time they introduced their constitution. And in that constitution, they divide power three ways. The top, the central government, the provincial government, and local government. And in under local government, you have all these very strong cities, municipalities,
all right,
which are actually very rich and powerful.
Francis, we're going to take a quick break, but let's come back and continue this conversation. We will be back with more on Consider This in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Thanks so much for staying with Shraddh and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with Dr. Francis Low. He is a senior advisor for the Forum of Federations, and he's also the project leader on the report titled Enabling Decentralization and Improving Federal-State Relations in the Federation of Malaysia. I want to come back to the report in which you made some recommendations of how to improve relations. I do want to ask you, though, how we get to a more, the spirit of federalism, more federal system as opposed to a very centralized version, the way we have sustained over so many decades. How do we begin that process, Francis? What would it take for, again, for federal government to devolve some of its powers to state governments?
Thank you. In our report, in the press report, you know, it was mentioned that our Chief Minister of Penang, Tuan Chau Kon Yao, actually had announced a three-step thing. First, he would definitely call for a commission to relook at federal-state relations you know, and this kind of what we might call intergovernmental relations between federal government, state government, and hopefully, I hope, they will also incorporate local government authorities, you know. And however, this is not something that you can, you know, you can suggest, but might not see the light of day at all until, you know, a Pakatan government comes to power again. That's what he thinks, you know, he hopes. The second recommendation is that actually he will begin to launch, call for an all-states powwow, you know, of all the states. And it looks as though there are enough people who are interested to sit down, regardless of party affiliation, you know, what are your priorities. And in October, this coming October, he's hoping that actually he can organize this meeting. And tentatively, he's going to call Johor to come, Sarawak to come, you know, and Penang and Negeri Sembilan and Selangor, of course. So for starters, and if the ruling party in that state does not come, he's also going to invite the opposition to come. And so, you know, you have actually a discussion generally about what are some of the problems that you face in trying to implement development policies, health policies, disaster management in your state. So we are on standby, so to speak, to document all these kinds of problems.
Francis, you know? Can I ask you, are there states in the Federation more inclined to devolution or decentralization than other states? States that are rich, like Penang and Selangor, and Sarawak, or resource-rich like Sabah, versus, I don't know, Perlis perhaps, or a state that doesn't see that it has the fiscal heft to go, as it were, you know, more autonomous?
Yeah, this is something that the civil society itself has to be excited about. You know, the problem in Malaysia, of course, is that because the constitution did not provide for this kind of power sharing, devolution of power, sharing resources, and because we were ruled by one party for 60-odd years, there was really no need to consult. All you did to do was actually pick up the phone and you tell your MB, this is how I want things done, and he got it done, you know. And this was actually, and sometimes even when you had problems, the people have said that during Lim Chong Il's time in Penang, you know, and he would call, if he had a problem, he wouldn't bother about all this. He would just call directly Tun Razak, and Razak would listen to him and all that, and they resolved their problems and issues that manner, you know. And apparently this was also how, you know, and there was a quid pro quo, a very nice, you know, like a relationship between the two of them there. Of course, when Pakatan came to power in Penang, Selangor, and you had a PN federal government in 2008, the problems, you know, were massive, you know, over about the appointment of state secretaries, who is your state legal officer, you know, how much money that you get. And so they actually, these funds actually go to the states, but they bypass the Menteri Besar and the Chief Minister. You know, and actually it's the state development officer who is a federal officer answerable to the Prime Minister's department who makes all the decisions. So, right. You know, this is massive because these people are not accountable. They are not, you know, politicians. They don't have to answer anybody except to their bosses in Putrajaya and ultimately the Prime Minister's office. You know, for me, that's not democratic. That's not democratic.
Well, Francis, then how do we understand the fact that the constitution is designed in such a way that it prioritizes central government, the federal government, over state level? I mean, we have the concurrent list, we have the state list. How do we, in the pursuit of more devolution of power, in the pursuit of more decentralization, take the constitution into consideration, the design of the constitution into consideration?
Yeah, the constitution, they talk about federal state relations in part 6, and then the important schedules are schedule 9 and 10. You know, so they elaborate on all these. Our problem was that we were so hung up about ethnic issues at the point of elections. And as we were deliberating on how we should define our constitution and all that, we were very concerned about Chinese, you know, citizenship, you know, Malay rights, you know, what about our language and all that? And nobody actually looked at the distribution of power between the center and the states. And this was actually the problem. Plus, don't forget, the deliberations took discussion, they occurred at a time when we were at a state of emergency. And, you know, the tendency, like the Brits were doing, was to actually over-centralize because we want to control. We don't want actually too much decentralization. You lose control, you know, of things. This is not special to Malaysia. A lot of countries also made some, you know, there was exigencies of the situation, demanded that you come up with a constitution quickly so that you get your independence from the colonial, colonialists. So you did that, but you must always have a review. And we have not had a constitutional review since then. We are very afraid that constitutional review means we'll be dabbling in Bumiputra, non-Bumiputra issues and all that. And that's, you know, in a sense, the problem in Malaysia.
Yeah. Francis, I want to ask you about, kind of shift our focus from Penang to Sarawak for a while and ask you to kind of assess what's happening there. Because when Sarawak ceased to be a fixed deposit for Barisan Nasional and then became a kind of kingmaker, it started to push not just the MA63, but this whole idea of autonomy. When you look at what they're doing, including the most recent move, to rename the Chief Minister Premier and also to stake out a very different education policy, especially with regard to the English language, is that what you see? Is that really the future? Are they, in some sense, where things are actually moving?
Yeah, for me, the point is one shoe does not fit all anymore in this day and age, you know, and the federal model gives way more and more to actually what we call in the literature, we call this, you know, in a sense, this is asymmetrical federalism. So when Spain came out of, you know, the Franco era, a lot of the different states, you know, which constituted Spain, had different kinds of relationship with the center. So, you know, Catalonia, you know, had extra rights. And then the people in the border area, you know, with France and all, they also had additional rights. But some of the other states, more regular rights. So, but eventually, 30 years hence, things are becoming more similar rather than dissimilar. So, you know, I feel that actually Malaysia might need to go through a period of asymmetry, just like to solve certain kinds of problems. Just like Southern Thailand, it's not going to be possible to solve the problem of Southern Thailand if you don't bring in asymmetry. Just like Philippines, you know, Southern Thailand, they now have a parliamentary system in Barm. You know, Bangsa, Moro, Autonomous Region, in Muslim Mindanao. They have a parliament. The rest of the country is US presidential. You know, so it's a very different type of thing. In Myanmar right now, you know, where I'm doing some of my work, you know, they are now drafting a program to create a federal democratic union. And this federal democratic union, they are looking into the possibility of all kinds of asymmetries. You know, there's no need for everybody to wear the same badge, you know, to get the same percentage of things. You know, in India, when they started, you know, the federal system, they originally built India on the basis of what the British inherited from the British. And then they discovered, that's not good enough. There are many linguistic groups which haven't been given their linguistic rights. So they then created Tamil Nadu, you know, and Kerala out of the original, you know, Madras presidency, you know, and likewise in the Calcutta side. So they began to do all these kinds of things.
Francis, we're running out of time and the comparative perspective is really very rich as you've been presenting it. I do want to ask you at this point in time, is the project for decentralization essentially driven by state elites or elites at the state level? Does it have a real, you know, roots in civil society and the public? And what would you like the public to think about if there isn't sufficient buy-in from the public at this point in time?
Yeah, I think true Democrats will want that kind of decentralization. But I fear, you know, that actually as you decentralize, you might subject the states or even local governments to elite capture, you know, and that's a chance that you have to take, you know, because I didn't mention, we talk about subsidiary, we talk about local knowledge, but the third factor is that democratic participation is most alive and well at the local level, you know. So these are actually the three points that, you know, actually explain why we need to decentralize, you know, because there is local knowledge, there's also democratic participation, but civil society must be strong. And don't forget, you need a strong judiciary, you know, to arbitrate, because there are going to be problems.
Dr. Francis Lo, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. That was our conversation with Dr. Francis Lo, the Senior Advisor for the Forum of Federations. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for you.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.